Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday. By the way, Throwback Thursday going back to 1998. But we stay modern in the good, the bad, and the dumb. So what is the good of the day?
The good of the day is right up your alley, man.
Well,
I don't know if it's up your alley.
Okay.
But it's probably pretty close. A 60-year-old recently.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
No, not that. It's golf related. That's where it's up your alley. And, you know, you could really relate to this. But a 60-year-old amateur, his name is Anthony Griggs, won a D-Flight amateur event.
Okay.
Using only his putter.
Really?
He shot an 84 using only his putter.
Wow. I've always heard this, but like people could do this, but I never really believed it. How do you, I guess he could hit the ball a mile with his,
now you're thinking about it more.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. Yeah. Like the more, like it's one thing to just hit the hell out of the ball off the tee, but like when you need that little lob shot over the bunker, like how did you get the ball there?
Yeah. Griggs normally drives the ball over 200 yards off the tee.
With the putter?
With the putter.
Oh,
or no, not with the putter. I think just normal.
Okay.
But however, the amateur golfer lost interest with the traditional game of golf, and a friend suggested that he should play with just a putter for to increase the difficulty.
See, now that's kind of cool. Like, he was willing to go out there and say, I'll work on my game with just the putter. Now, the putter has a little bit of loft on it, but it's amazing that he's...
Maybe he never hit it into a trap at all.
I don't know how
you get it out of a sand trap with a putter.
Well, here's the thing. What if he just went, look, this game has spent so much time in the air, I'm just going to keep it on the ground as much as possible.
Yeah, maybe so that's it.
I can hit it off the tee. When I hit it off the tee, it'll go in the air because there's a little, you know, there's loft in the putter and there's a little height off the tee. That'll go down. But when, since 84... is 12 over par on a 72 par golf course. I have a stroke or two to play around with on certain holes. I'll just keep it on the ground as much as I can.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Not only that, Griggs used a Scotty Cameron putter while practicing just to use a putter.
See, those are good putters.
Yeah, but it broke leading up to the event.
Ha!
So instead of purchasing a brand new one, he went to a local Goodwill and bought a Wilson staff putter for $2.99.
This is insulting to anybody he played against in every capacity.
Maybe it's not so good after all.
The guys he beat are going back home to their wives going, I practiced every day.
Yep.
I took lessons. I went to the driving range. I worked on my short game in the backyard. I mean, I had it all down. I bought the brand new equipment. I got the fancy Titleist Pro V1s. I got a brand new glove. This guy went to the Goodwill store, bought a $2.99 putter, and beat me.
Not only that, but he beat the guy's name was Angel Faux. I don't know. FAUX by 6 strokes.
Oh God, that's great. But you know what? You know what? Maybe he was able to be like, look, the way I'm playing, I'm avoiding trouble that costs you guys a lot of strokes. Like if you're trying to hit a shot 100 yards over water and you hit it in the water 3 times, I'm just going to go around the water with my putter.
Yeah,
I'm not even near the putter.
I mean, you figure every time he stepped up to the hole, he probably said, you know what, I'll bogey this one. Like, he was not even thinking par. He's not thinking birdie. He was just like, I'll get a bogey here.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what he averaged.
Exactly.
I mean, he probably got a few pars here and there, and they were probably the par threes. It was a little bit closer, and he could, you know, get up and down in 3 shots. But probably those par fours, par fives, maybe a couple par fives. It was a double bogey because I don't see how you can hit it that far.
Yeah.
That it would take you, you know, maybe 6-7 strokes. It would probably take you 6 strokes just to get to the green.
That is a great story. That is a great story. Makes me want to go to the range and just take my putter out on the tee and just to see what it would be like to hit my putter as a driver. See what would happen.
The other thing, you know, it makes me think about too is remember, you know, the movie Tin Cup.
Yes.
When Roy McAvoy, wins a golf tournament using nothing but a 7-iron.
That's right.
And, you know, like I look at that, I'm like, you know what? That actually makes a lot more sense to me than a putter.
That, and in the movie, wasn't it his caddy Cheech, he broke the driver, but then he got mad and he said, well, fine, I'll break all my clubs but my 7. And yeah. He used that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good. That's a good, yeah, good memory, Tin Cup. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is there's a video out there. It's two bads in one right here, right? I'll just tell you. I'll tell you what it is. There was a funeral service, and a corpse was, you know, in the grave.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know how, or basically what happened was you could see the corpse waving.
Yeah, it's really freaky. It's not as clear, but when you know it, when you watch the video,
when they zoom in on it,
it's pretty freaky.
Now, two things came to mind. One is that would probably be the worst thing I could ever experience.
Yeah.
Is seeing a corpse wave. And I guess that's a common thing, that the body will just involuntarily move because rigor mortis is setting in.
Sure.
That makes all the sense in the world that, you know, that. But what I didn't get, and it's really the bad for me, is why would you what's the purpose of the window?
Great in the question. Coffin? Great question. Why was there an opportunity for us to see as the coffin was being buried anything at all?
So to paint this picture for you guys, picture a coffin in the dirt, right? And people are standing around the grave. They're looking down in the ground. It's already 6 feet down. And the coffin, they're just saying their final respects before they just start filling the hole in, not to, you know, belittle the thing. But that's basically what they're doing, is they're just going to bury this thing in the ground. But there's a viewing hole, a window in the coffin.
That you can see the face.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't understand what the purpose of that is. And so, of course, while it's down there, all of a sudden you see the hand move in front of the glass. It's just quick. I mean, it's not like it's Forrest Gump waving on a boat, you know, back and forth, you know, sporadically trying to get your attention or just saying hi. It just all of a sudden just like shifts, and you just see the hand come in front of this window. I mean, at the same time, you know, what really bothered me too was when you're watching this, the crowd didn't really react.
They didn't really see it. Yeah, exactly. it wasn't until somebody saw it, Phil had looked at the video.
Yeah, because I swear. If that happened during the funeral service and you picked it up, you're screaming.
Yeah, no doubt.
You are screaming. And you're saying, no, 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 we can't bury it. Burn it.
By the way, this is how the modern, the image of the vampire came about. Because back in the day, they would dig up a body and they would open up the coffin, and the rigor mortis caused the nails to grow and the hair to kind of be all what, you know, but the mouth would retract and there would be blood, just drips of blood based on just the body kind of decomposing a bit. And they would assume that that person had been out and feasting on blood of some sort, when actually it was just the body doing what the body does when it decomposes.
Look at you with the twisted history.
I did. I watched that on it was like a Halloween monster special thing. And I was fascinated by it, but yeah.
Did they explain, is it possible to build a Frankenstein using body parts from other people?
Not really, but, you know, bummer. I'm, you know, wouldn't mind seeing somebody try.
And I'm sorry, again, you know, if there's somebody out there listening right now yelling at me, it's like, it's not Frankenstein, it's Frankenstein's monster.
That's right. You hold off. We get it. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, no doubt that I didn't need to see that. Now that I saw it, I can't unsee it every time.
Yeah,
I see,
every time. Know, and now I'm always going to wonder, you know, how often did, you know, our loved ones move?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, here's the thing. So in the last couple of weeks, I need to know if that was rigor mortis. And also I need to know about the UFOs. So I feel like I've got a couple of videos in the last couple of weeks that make me go, I don't need to know this stuff.
Yeah. And what's funny is that nobody cares.
Yeah, I know. It's just UFO thing came and went, did it not?
It did.
Why aren't we screaming about this? Is it coronavirus?
Navy said, yeah, here's the footage. We don't know what the hell it is either.
Yeah, I saw it on
We're
one
gonna call it a
news
UFO.
Show, and I've never seen it again.
Yep.
Like, this should be the lead story every day outside of Corona.
We possibly have proof of a zombie uprising.
That's right.
You know, something that we've feared for years now, made TV shows and movies about. Man, we don't really care.
Yeah, exactly.
That's back page story.
Gosh. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I gotta lay it on to Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman opened up a little bit about his first trip to North Korea.
Yeah, exactly.
He went there as part of a group with the Harlem Globetrotters, and North Korea was quick to say, hey, we tried to get Michael Jordan, but he didn't return our call, so you are our next best option. The only person that you could probably say that to would be Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman's responsible. Oh, that's cool, man. Who cares?
Yeah, all right.
But anyways, he talked about the first time he met Kim Jong-un. I had no clue who this guy was. And to the point where Kim Jong-un invited him up to his box to watch the Harlem Globetrotters play. And Dennis Rodman said, you know, they sat down in what were king seats. So I'm picturing like little mini thrones.
Sure.
And then the crowd starts cheering. So he stands up and he starts waving to the crowd. And that's when somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, no, it's for him. He still had no clue who Kim Jong-un was at that point.
Okay, so he should do a little research before he goes, yeah, realizing...
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, and where was his people saying, okay, Dennis, I know you don't follow world affairs, but here's what's happening here. You're going to be landing in a country that is operating like this. And the leader is not only the leader, he's kind of like God. So here's just a couple of things to keep in mind when you're in North Korea. It's a dictatorial country. They kind of drag people out of their beds, and everything centers around that guy right there. If you meet this guy, didn't he say that there was hotties and vodka at the party?
Well, he said he went to a party and there was a little karaoke and some vodka, some hot toddies and stuff like that. Next thing you know, they're all drunk as bleep, and he starts singing karaoke. He has no clue what anyone is saying. And then everyone starts clapping. And because Kim Jong-un invited out his 18-piece women's band.
Oh, very nice.
And he said these girls were hot, hot, hot. But they literally were an 18-piece band. Like, they literally came out and played music. And
so Kim Jong-un has his own personal 18-piece female band?
But the best part about this is why I laugh, is they only knew one song.
So
they played, they played that song over and over and over and over and over again.
It's like a John Mulaney skit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, I'm trying to find it.
Ooh. What was the song? Was it a North Korean song, or was it something Dennis Rodman knew?
Oh, it was something that I think everyone knew.
Oh, okay.
Darn, it's not in here.
So they found some
I thought I had it in the system.
Western tune. And they just played that over and over again.
Yeah. You ready for the Western tune?
Why not?
The theme song to Dallas.
Oh, my God. Really? Did they even have words to that?
No, they just played that song.
Over and over and over again?
Yep.
That's like part of Dante's Hell, is it not?
That's got to be.
Right?
Maybe that was Kim Jong-un's, maybe that's his TV show.
It's a great theme song, but I don't think I want to hear it for an hour.
Oh, hours on end.
Right.
Right?
Just over and over again.
So Dennis obviously said, you know, WTF to that.
Yeah.
And then he says, when he was leaving, he said, here's 7 songs I want you guys to play next time I come here.
Oh, boy.
So he threw some Pearl Jam, Van Halen, Rolling Stones at them. The next time he came there, which is about a year later or 2 years later, they knew all those songs that he requested.
Oh, that's great.
All I can picture for Kim Jong-un to say is like, hey, this is what Dennis wants. This is all you guys are going to do.
That's it.
Every single day.
Wake up 18 hours a day. You're going to learn these songs for Dennis
Rodman.
Learn
these songs. You're going to play them perfectly. And he said they played them perfectly.
That's great. Great. All right. That's the good, the bad, the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, ESPN Nation Radio.